Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
John chapter 21. Very simple message. Some very simple questions from the Lord this morning. Verse 15. When they had all eaten, Jesus addressed Simon Peter. Simon, son of John, do you truly love me with God's love? Do you love me more than all these fish you have just caught? Lord, you know that I love you with my human love, he answered. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. Then Jesus asked him again, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me with God's love? Peter answered, Lord, you know that I love you with my human love. Look after my sheep, Jesus said to him. Then Jesus asked a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me with your human love? It hurt Peter that Jesus would question his love three times, so he replied, Lord, you know everything. You must know that I do really love you with my human love. Jesus said to him, then feed my sheep. We can read a lot of significance into that encounter with Peter. Peter had messed up big time. He'd committed perhaps the worst of all possible sins in denying Jesus three times. Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I would deny you before my Father in heaven. So there can't be anything worse than that. Yet God had restored him. I believe he was restored before this. But God's plan for Peter was laid before the foundation of the world. And even his denials were not going to hinder or prevent that plan from being fulfilled. Even though he had three times committed perhaps the worst of all sins. So, what is Jesus really saying to Peter? Well, he's saying your ministry is to feed my people. But he's pointing out to them, to him, the secret of what that means. Your ministry must come out of your love for me. Not your love for your ministry, not even your love for the task to which I call you. Not even your love for the mission, if you like, but your love for me. Do you love Jesus? I'm sure every one of us would say yes, but love is a matter of degree, isn't it? You can love pancakes. You can love Arsenal. I can't imagine anybody loving any other team than Arsenal. But you can love your best friend. You can love your wife, your husband. You love your children. You love Jesus. It's always a matter of degree. And I suppose this is really what Jesus was saying to Peter. Three times he asked the question. Because what he was going to have to face was going to come out, would have to come out, of great love for Jesus. And of course, in the end, if the tradition is right that he was crucified and chose to be crucified upside down, then obviously he did not deny Jesus at the end of his life. What is God's purpose for every one of us in this room? Well, the scripture is very clear. His purpose is to be like Jesus. That we're being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. And that in the end, when we see him as he is, we shall be like him. The more you love him, the more like him you become. And the more like him you are, the more your ministry is enriched. That's obvious. The more you minister like Jesus, the more effective and fruitful you will be. So the focus is not to be on a ministry, so where is it to be? We were given a calendar at Christmas. I think some others of you were given this calendar in which there was this picture of this man with a hammer and nail in his hands who obviously represents a sinner responsible for putting Jesus on the cross. This is the moment of salvation. When Jesus saves him, lifts him up, forgives him, restores him. I'd seen this picture before, actually, but when we received the calendar, I thought, I want to do one of those. I'm going to paint that picture. I wanted to make a few changes, change the color of the shirt from blue to red to signify that it was he was guilty of the blood of Jesus, but it's that same blood that would cleanse him. So how did I go about it? Well, I started with this. An artist's board. But I've got to get that onto this. So we ended up with the end product being this. Now I've got a question for you. You see, I could have done a rough sketch and given an impression of that. But I didn't want an impression, I wanted a reproduction. So apart from the shirt and a few other minor changes, the original has been reproduced. Now, the question is this. To reproduce that, like that, how many times do you think I looked at that? You see, the only way was to look at it constantly. Hundreds, perhaps thousands of times. If Jesus is going to be reproduced in you, how many times will you need to look at Jesus? Does it make the point? not a rough approximation, not an impression, but a reproduction. Because Jesus wants to reproduce himself in you. Your life is not about a ministry. Your life is about Jesus being reproduced in you, because out of that reproduction will come your ministry. So, now you can see why it says in Hebrews, fix your eyes on Jesus. If you don't keep looking at Jesus, you can't reproduce his life in your life. Oh yes, there's got to be some ability to make the reproduction, but the ability is the Holy Spirit, isn't it? He is the ability. But he can only work that in you in as much as you keep looking at Jesus. There's an old chorus we used to sing. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. All I ask is to be like him. Throughout life's journey, from earth to glory, all I ask is to be like him. A lot of truth in those old choruses. Of course, it can just be a good sentiment, or it can be a real desire. And that's where the degree of love comes in. Do you love Jesus enough to want to be like him? Do you love him in such a way that you will keep looking at him so that he can reproduce his life in you, so your ministry will come out of the reproduction of Christ in you? God has been doing a very important thing these 20 days. We've had three tremendous Sundays when the whole vision of who and what and why we are, who we are. We know the mission, the calling that God has upon us, not only personally, individually, but as Kingdom Faith. He's refreshed the anointing, that indispensable Holy Spirit that can reproduce Jesus in us. God, I believe, did a profound work last Tuesday evening, which he furthered on Sunday morning, as people yielded themselves afresh. But are we yielding ourselves to him, or to a task? Well, it's to him. We don't lead people to salvation. We lead them to Jesus, the Savior. He is the Savior. He is the Lord. He is the Master. He is all that he is. Now, let's get very practical, shall we? Let's look at this in more detail. Let's look at Jesus. If we're going to be like him, there's at least four ways in which we need to be like him. We need to be like him in the way that he related to the Father, in the way that he related to disciples, in the way that he related to the people, and in the way he related to those who opposed him. The more we understand how Jesus acted in those four ways, the more we can see that we have to act. It's not going to happen by just us saying, "Oh Lord, I want to be more like Jesus." The only way it can happen is, as with this picture, you keep looking at Jesus, you see what he does, so you do it. And because he had the Spirit working in him, you have that same Spirit working in you, so you can do what he did. Isn't this what he said? "Anyone who believes in me would do what I have been doing, and greater things still will he do, because I go to the Father." Whoever claims to live in Christ must walk as Jesus did. How do you walk as Jesus did? Well, in relation to the Father, in relation to disciples, in relation to people, in relation to the opposition. So let's take each in turn. How did he relate to the Father? He loved the Father. Everything he did, absolutely everything Jesus did, came out of his love for the Father. Even to the point of being willing to go to the cross. You could say, well, he did that out of love for us. Yes, but he did it first and foremost out of his love for the Father, because it was the will of his Father. And he agonized in the garden before he was arrested. But you see, the heart of that was his submission to the will of his Father. "Not my will, but yours be done." So we see, well, Jesus, he loved the Father so much that he didn't want his own will. He only wanted the will of his Father, even if it meant crucifixion. You see, Peter came to that point, from the point of disastrously denying him, he came to the point where he actually loved Jesus to the point of being crucified himself. Now, we trust that will not be the end for any of us, but the principle is the same. Do we love Jesus like he loved the Father? Do we love the Father like he loved the Father? Are we yielded to his will and say, "Not my will, not my will"? See, that's different from saying "my will plus your will," or "your will plus some of my will." No, "not my will, yours be done." That's Jesus. Jesus was so submitted and yielded to the Father, wasn't he? We've been yielding ourselves to him in these last few days, and there's been a much greater freedom and empowering of the Spirit as a result. But are we yielded like Jesus was yielded? He spoke no words of his own. He spoke only the words his Father gave him to speak. He did nothing of his own initiative. He did only what he see the Father doing. Are we yielded that much yet? I don't think so. We're on our way. Some of us perhaps more than others, but we see the purpose of God to be so yielded to him that we can fulfill the mission. Because we fulfill the mission as the body of Christ. So we've got to function as the body of the living Christ. So, if I want to be like Jesus, I'm going to relate to the Father like Jesus related to the Father. Not my will, but yours be done. Just so yielded to you, Lord. I want to speak only what you give me to speak. I want to do only what I see you doing. I want to cut out all the other stuff from my life that doesn't glorify you. Jesus made it clear, isn't it, that he was living for the glory of the Father. Lord, I want to be able to do the things you did, but I can only do those things that you did and greater things if I relate to the Father like you related to the Father. So I want that. Now, how much I want that depends upon how much I love Jesus. The greater my love for Jesus, the greater my desire to be like him. Are we all at the same meeting here this morning?
Yes.
Then I want to be like Jesus in the way that he related to disciples. Look at the disciples and Jesus' relationship with him. I mean, they messed up again and again and again. Jesus, if Jesus ever got frustrated, he got frustrated with them because of their lack of trust in him, their lack of understanding of spiritual things. They failed him. Peter denied him. Judas betrayed him. They all deserted and left him. I mean, when you look at the witness of the disciples during the gospel period, it is not a happy scene overall. And yet Jesus, right at the end when he's praying to the Father, says, yet they believed who I am. They believed in me. Yeah, they kept failing, they kept messing up. But what was his attitude towards them? Did he judge them, condemn them? Was he always telling them off? No, what we see is his love expressed in his mercy and his grace. Constantly forgiving, constantly restoring. I want to be like that.
Yes.
Doesn't matter who messes up or who does what. You know, wives can be good for us. My wife said to me years ago, she said, Colin, you mustn't expect of others what you expect of yourself. It was something I needed to hear at the time because I had such high expectations of myself, therefore I had such high expectations of everybody else. And when that's the case, if you're not careful, that can come across as critical, even if you're not feeling critical. You know, even if you're not intending to be critical, people can think, oh, are we sort of measuring up? But here was this Jesus. I mean, the whole idea of being a disciple in Bible times was that you wanted to be like the master. The rabbis had their disciples, and those disciples wanted to be like their rabbis. And the disciples of Jesus wanted to be like Rabbi Jesus. Not just followers of his teaching, they wanted to be like him. That's why they hung out with him. That's why they spent their time with him. That's why they followed him wherever they went. That's why they were with him all the time. That's why they kept their eyes on him. Because they wanted to be like him. But they failed again and again, but he treated them with mercy, with grace, with forgiveness, with gentleness. Yet with firmness, Jesus was never a soft touch, but he was gentle, loving, understanding, gracious. I want to be like that. I want to be more like that.
Yes.
When people mess up, I want to be as gracious towards them as God has been towards me when I've messed up. And even more so. So I want to be like Jesus in the way he relates to the Father. I want to be like him in the way that he relates to disciples. I want to be like Jesus in the way he related to the people. See, what was his motivation towards people? Predominantly compassion. He expressed his love in his compassion. You see it again and again. With compassion, he healed the sick. With compassion, he taught the people because they were like sheep without a shepherd. With compassion, he forgave, like the woman caught in adultery. Compassion, he fed the multitude when they'd been listening to him all day and were hungry. His compassion moved him to action. I want that kind of compassion, don't you? The compassion of Jesus that moves me to action. Not that simply looks and feels sympathy and feels sorry for people or their circumstances. I want to do what Jesus did.
Yeah.
But I'm only going to do what Jesus did if I have the same heart motivation that he had. He was humble and gentle of heart, but he was also full of compassion. I want to be like that. I want to be more like that. Don't you?
Yes.
And then there's the way Jesus related to the opposition. We have lots of opposition here in Kingdom Faith, even at present. There are people that are trying to draw others away out of Kingdom Faith. Those that are maligning us, saying all kinds of untrue things about us. It goes on all the time. But our attitude needs to be like that of Jesus. Isn't that what it says in Philippians? Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Well, my attitude can only be the same if I'm like him. If I'm more like him. But you see, how am I going to be like him if I don't keep my eyes on him? That no matter what situation I'm in, I've got my eyes on Jesus. How would Jesus react? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? How would Jesus feel? What would Jesus pray? What would Jesus believe? I can only be like him if I keep asking myself those questions, no matter what situation I'm in. Because I don't want to be a vague impression. I don't want just to say, well, I'm vaguely something like Jesus because Christ lives in me. I want to be a more realistic reproduction. But that can only happen if, well, let me tell you, if you want to paint a picture like that, it's all about detail. You see, you only get the finished effect if you pay attention to detail. If you get the details right, you'll get the finished product. If you just want a vague impression, that's all you get, an impression. It'll say something, but it won't give you the detail. And God is a God of detail. Look at his word. It's about detail, not vague impressions. Jesus is a realist, not an impressionist, in artistic terms. So I've got to keep looking in detail. What would Jesus do? It's a question that is very familiar, but it has a point to it, doesn't it? So Jesus stood firm against the opposition. He refused to be moved by the opposition. He refused to compromise because of the opposition. He refused to allow anything that the opposition did to prevent him from doing what he was doing. He kept his eyes on his father, not on the opposition. He would not allow himself to be distracted. You see, what does opposition do? It distracts you from Jesus. Tries to distract people from Jesus. All opposition is deception, isn't it?
Yes.
Because Jesus is the truth. Amen. So I want to be like Jesus in standing firm, resolute, unmoved, no matter who does what. No matter who opposes, no matter who accuses, no matter what. Because all that stuff is the work of the enemy, isn't it? So I want to be like Jesus, yet at the same time, having a compassion and concern and care for those who oppose. Why? Because Jesus died for them just as much as he died for the disciples. He gave his life for them just as much as for anyone else. And some of those who opposed him became his greatest advocates, like Saul of Tarsus. So I want to be like Jesus in the way he relates to the Father, in the way he relates to believers, to disciples, in the way he relates to people, in the way he relates to the opposition. But you see, the common denominator in all four ways is his love. God is love, and Jesus is the embodiment of love. These 2020 sessions that Pastor Clive has led have been so, so important. There's been such a rich anointing on them. And you see, while God has been clarifying and sharpening the vision and the purpose for this year, at the same time, he's been working in our hearts to equip us to fulfill the vision. Well, you can say on one hand, he equips us by giving his Spirit, and it was, I believe, an important thing, and it was a powerful time when everybody received prayer on Sunday morning. Refreshing the anointing. But you see, what matters now is the outworking of the anointing. And I want you just to turn. No, you don't have to turn to it. I'll just remind you. When Jesus earlier was talking to the disciples at the Last Supper, he talked about the Holy Spirit. And I preached to last term, when we had those four Tuesdays on the Holy Spirit. The first one was about how Jesus focused on the core purpose of the Spirit living within believers. And do you remember what he says? Jesus said, the Holy Spirit, the counsel of the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit will bear witness to me. See, why does the Holy Spirit live in you? First and foremost, to bear witness to Jesus. That means to witness Jesus to you so that Jesus can be witnessed through you. The purpose of the Holy Spirit, more than anything else in your life, is to get you to keep your eyes on Jesus, because you are to be like him, to do what he has done and greater things still, because he's returned to the Father. So then Jesus says he will guide you into all the truth. He will take the things of mine and declare them to you. What does that mean? It means in practice, no matter what situation, you're in prayer, right? He wants to declare to you, this is how I pray, this is how I relate to the Father. You're with the other brethren, this is how I relate to the brethren. When somebody offends you, this is how I deal with it. When you want to bless and encourage, this is how I bless, this is how I encourage. I came as the servant, this is how I want you to serve. The Holy Spirit all the time is just saying, look what Jesus did. Look how Jesus did it. Look what was happening in the life and ministry of Jesus. Just fix your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Just do now what Jesus did. No. Don't react in the flesh. React as Jesus did. Because the Holy Spirit is living within you to enable you to act and react as Jesus did.
Yeah.
And then when it comes to the lost, to the needy, to the desperate, to the poor, to the sick, do as Jesus did. The Holy Spirit is there. Look, this is what Jesus did. This is how Jesus coped. This is what Jesus did in situations like this. This is what you are to do. You have my Spirit in you. The Spirit is bearing witness to Jesus. Be like Jesus. Do what Jesus did. Now. You have the anointing. Don't wait for something to happen. Don't wait for the right feeling. Just do what Jesus did, because you've got the anointing within you to do it. And when it came to the opposition, do what Jesus did. Don't let it get upset. Don't get phased. Don't let the opposition determine your program. Just keep your eyes on me. Just keep doing what I'm telling you to do. Never mind what others try to do to you. I am your shield. I am your defense. I am your protection. I am a wall about you. Use my authority when the powers of darkness come upon you, because I have given you authority over all the power of the evil one. Those who are not with you are against you. Jesus made that clear. That's why when people that have been with us leave, they turn against us. It's biblical. I could give you a list of people who used to be so involved with Kingdom Faith and say such wonderful things about Kingdom Faith, who are now against us and are maligning us every opportunity. It's the scripture. If they're not with you, they're against you. Why? Because they've got to justify leaving us. It couldn't be their fault, so it must be our fault. Hello? But we have to be like Jesus. What did Jesus do? Jesus watched them go. Jesus didn't go running after them. Jesus didn't say, hey, I'll change things to keep you. Jesus, no, it says, from that time on, many of his disciples left him and followed him no more. And what did he do? He just turned to the others and said, you don't want to go as well, do you? They said, no, we're with you. And that's the point, isn't it? We're with Jesus. We're not going anywhere. We're going to stay plugged in. We're in covenant with him. We're in covenant with one another.
Yes.
Together we're going to see the purposes of God fulfilled.
Amen.
Hallelujah. What a great God.
Yes.
Now, what has he been doing during these 20 days? Well, actually, you're more like Jesus than you were on January the 3rd. However, I have a word of prophecy. There is much further to go. But listen, what I want you to understand is that you will not be like Jesus by just praying to be like Jesus. You only get the reproduction when you put, this is actually a pastel, but when you put pastel to paper.
Yeah.
When you do it.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
You're not waiting for any anointing. You've got the anointing.
Yeah, amen.
You're not waiting for God to do something else. He is waiting for you to do something else. He is just waiting for you to do the same things as Jesus. How much you love him will determine how much your actions are like those of Jesus. If your heart is humble like his heart, submitted to the Father like his heart, you know, I've found, you see, that when this is your focus of your life, you've got no time, really, to judge others. You're too busy trying to conform to the image of his Son. Because that's how Paul says it, that God has called us to be conformed to the image of his Son. What does that mean? It means he's called us to be like Jesus.
Yes.
So I'm too busy trying to act like him, react like him, have the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus. I mean, that actually gives me enough to get on with. There's no time to judge others. And it's not a question of looking at others and seeing, he's not like Jesus. She's not like Jesus. Jesus wouldn't do that. Just look to yourself. I've been reading a very, very good book. It's one I've read every now and again for over many years. It's a book on holiness written by, he was actually an Anglican bishop at the end of the 1800s, J.C. Ryle, who's a wonderful, wonderful man of God, sort of stood out like a beacon of light in the Victorian society, a real man with a revival heart, and so plain spoken. He had, at the time, he had the ear of the nation. Whatever he wrote, whatever he said, made national impact, caused all kinds of opposition. But he's so down to earth, if you like. And I was reading a section where he was just saying, I want you to receive this in the right way. He's saying, every one of us is so corrupt. We are so corrupt compared with him. We are so corrupt in so many ways. And that's the word he used, corrupt. But then he says, but look at the way Jesus deals with us despite our corruption, despite our many failings. With his love and compassion and gentleness, with long-suffering and patience and kindness, never with criticism and judgment. And then he went on to say, God hasn't got anybody to use that isn't corrupt. We are all in the same boat. But we all have the same Lord who deals with us all in the same way.
Yes.
But you see, friends, it's not a matter of just saying, well, if that's the case, then my failings don't matter too much. No, God will still use you despite the failings, despite the corruption, despite all the ways in which you are not like Jesus. Of course he will. He doesn't wait until you attain perfection before he uses you. He's using you today. He'll use you tomorrow. But the point is this. The more like Jesus you are, the more usable you are.
Yes, amen.
And the more usable you are, the more of his glory can be revealed through you. But of course, the more you are like him is the result of the fact that you have grown to love him more.
Yes.
And you see, Jesus says that if you love me, you will do what I say. You won't just believe what I say. You won't just read what I say. You won't just study what I say. You'll do what I say. What's the Sermon on the Mount all about? It's telling people, this is how to act like I act. It would be better to cut your hand off, to cut your foot off, than to act in any other way. It's radical sort of stuff, but then, you see, this is the whole point. Jesus is the most radical person that has ever walked on the face of the earth. Absolutely radical. And that's what we have to face. Am I prepared to be radical like Jesus? Am I ready for radical change in my life? Yeah, we praise God for the changes, but I mean radical change. I don't mean are we waiting for God to change us radically, but are you prepared now to act in a different radical way? Because you want to do what Jesus did. You want to be like Jesus. You want a ministry that glorifies Jesus. The fulfillment. He did this for you. He took hold of you. He lifted you up. You put him on the cross. You hammered in the nails with your sin. This is the measure of his love. This is the measure of his acceptance. But you see, this is the point. We can only love because he first loved us. He's not asking us to do anything that he hasn't already done for us. And he's done it perfectly. He loves us perfectly. Beloved, we're in the everlasting arms that have lifted us up out of the mire and clay. You can see He's been kneeling in the mire and clay. All the mud on his jeans. But Jesus has lifted him up. Taken him to himself. Why? To reproduce himself in that sinner. Last thing. You could say that that would be a dramatic presentation of all of us, but especially of someone like Saul of Tarsus. And yet Saul of Tarsus. Now, this is something you may not have realized. It was right towards the end of his life and of his wonderful ministry that he called himself the chief of sinners.
He knew he was a saint. He called those to whom he wrote saints. But he never lost sight of the fact that in and of himself, he sinned. Where does the sin come from in your life? Not from the Holy Spirit, not from God, but from yourself. What did Jesus do? He reminded him of his weakness. That my power is made perfect in your weakness. Because we can't be like Jesus in our own strength, but only because we've been anointed by the Spirit. Only because he will work that life in us. What am I saying? I'm saying that there's a sense in which we live on the edge all the time. And yes, at times we will make the wrong decisions and we will go into sin. Times we will choose to please ourselves and not the Lord. But the great thing is that he never washes his hands of us. He just brings us back to his calling, to his appointing, to his purpose. And he says to us, it wasn't worth it, was it? Because that was not like Jesus. That detracted from my purpose for you. But my purpose for you hasn't changed. I just brought you back to that purpose. Yes, now come on, let's walk together. Okay. Let's live as one. Let's do what Jesus did in the power of his Spirit. Let's all stand. Now it's about doing because of being. We're coming to the action part, aren't we? Well, we're already in the action part, but you know what I mean. We now got to see the outworking of all that God has been doing within us. Now just talk to him from your heart. I want to be like Jesus. Now, Lord, I need your grace with me every day. I need to learn to keep looking at Jesus because I want the details, Lord. I don't want just a vague impression that somehow Jesus is in my life. I want Jesus to be in the details. I want to react. I want to relate to you, Father, like Jesus did. I want to pray like Jesus did. I want to believe like Jesus did. I want to trust you like Jesus did. I want to be a man or woman of the Word because Jesus is the Word. I want to see that Word outworked in my life, in the details, Lord. Lord, I need all your grace to enable me to relate to my brothers and sisters in Christ in the way that you related to your disciples. All your grace, Lord, to be gentle and humble, loving, kind, compassionate, long-suffering, patient, forgiving, encouraging, serving. I want you to be in the details, Lord, every day. Lord, I'm asking you to for this morning to be a turning point in my life when I really make the decision to walk as Jesus did, to see Him in the details of my life in a way that has never been the case before. Lord, to have a closer walk with You, where more and more of You is seen in the way in which I relate to others. Lord, I want Your compassion for the lost, for the poor, the needy, the desperate, the sick. I want to feel for them. I want the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus. I want to feel for them what You feel for them. I want Your love to compel me to action, Lord. I don't want to be satisfied with the sympathy. I want You to move me to action in the ways that You want to move me to action. Lord, I know I'm just so weak, so corrupt really in myself, but I thank You that Your Spirit lives in me despite my weakness. Your power can be manifested in my life. I want to be like Jesus when He heals the sick. I want to be like Jesus when He raises the dead. I want to be like Jesus when He stills the storm. I want to be like Jesus when He exercises the authority that You have given. I want to be like Jesus, overcoming, demonstrating that You are Lord. I want to be like Jesus in taking the light into the darkness of the world around. I want to be like Jesus with a kingdom ministry, doing the same things as Him and greater things still. Lord, I want to do it, not just have this as some kind of idealistic attitude or desire or intention. I want to do it, Lord. Lord, I want Your compassion, Your attitude towards the opposition, to love my enemies, to pray for those who persecute me and use me spitefully, when really I've done nothing wrong to them. I want Your attitude, Lord. I want to feel like You do, to speak like You would, to act like You would. I want to stand firm and not be moved by anything except by Your Spirit. I'm not going to be moved by feeling I have to justify myself or defend myself or anything of that nature. I thank You, Lord, that I can stand resolute, unmoved, when things come against me. I want to be like You, Jesus. Now, Lord, I realize this morning this is all a matter of how much I love You. I can only feed Your lambs, feed Your sheep, if I love You with God's love. And if I love others with that same love. Thank You, Lord, You have poured that love into my heart by the Holy Spirit. Thank You, Lord, that on Sunday You refreshed every one of us with that gift of Your love. Thank you, Lord, the kingdom faith is going to fulfill its destiny. Because we're going to be a people like Jesus. By your mercy, by your grace, by your enabling. Thank you, Jesus. Just hear the words of the Lord. The Counselor, the Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. The Counselor, when he comes, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Remember that word we had a few days about being with Jesus. You must also testify, for you have been with me. Because it's all about love, Jesus said, the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. How is the world going to learn that? Not just by our words, but by our actions. Can you just pray that over your own life now? That the witness you will give that you love the Father because you do exactly what the Father commands you. That as Jesus fulfilled, so that's what we are called to do. What love, what grace, what patience he has shown us. When there's so much about us that isn't like him. Oh, we can thank him for what he's already worked in us, but come on, let's be honest with ourselves. There's still so much that doesn't reflect Jesus, so many attitudes that are not like him, so many times when we react out of self rather than out of obedience to him. Come on, let's just be honest about it and say, oh Lord, we want that to change. We want to be transformed into your likeness with increasing glory. We want more glory this week than last week. And we want more glory next week than this week. We want this continual transformation to be taking place, Lord. So that our ministries will really come out of our love for you, that we will love you with God's love. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Kuparazataria letu bakala sitari sanduma. Come on, just open your heart. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Just thank him for that purifying power of the Holy Spirit, that refining power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank him that you're more purified gold now than you were. Thank him that that process of purification is going to go on in your life. Oh, and out of that gold is going to come so much glory for God. So many, So many ways in which others are going to be blessed. Hallelujah. So many ways in which others are going to be reached with the gospel. So many ways in which others are going to be set free. Because you're more like Jesus. Jesus is just going to work through you. Jesus is going to do it. Hallelujah. That the anointing will just enable that. When you make the right decision to do what Jesus did, the anointing will come forth and things will happen and lives will be impacted and people will be transformed and others will be saved and set free and healed and delivered. We praise you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. Lord, I want you in the details, not just a vague impression. I want you in the details. I want to keep looking at you, Lord. I want to fix my eyes on you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. All I ask is to be like him. Throughout life's journey, from earth to glory, all I ask is to be like him. Because if I be like him, I will love like him and work like him and speak like him and do like him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Reproduce yourself in me, Lord. Reproduce yourself in the body here. We just pray for the whole of Kingdom Faith, for the whole church here, Lord. Glorify us. We want your glory in the church, Lord. Oh, we want this church to be so full of Jesus, just so full of Jesus. Everybody is so full of Jesus. Oh, we thank you for the ways in which that's true now. But Lord, we know there's room for so much more of you to be revealed. More and more and more that we will be seen to be the body of Christ.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you.
Yes, Lord.
Pura la Vasataria lero bakarasitri sataria lero bakarasitri sando. Vasandaria lero bakarasitri sataria lero bakarasitri sando. Balandaria leto bakarasitri sato. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we praise you. Come on, just thank the Lord that he is faithful and he will do it. The scripture says that he will sanctify us through and through, spirit, soul, and body. God is faithful and he will do it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And let me just finish by reminding you of this. You only get from this to the finished article by keep looking at the original. So just keep looking at the original, at Jesus. Amen. Father, we thank you, we bless you for all that you're doing, all that you're working out among us. Oh, it's such a gracious work. We're such a privileged people, Lord, that you should call us and choose us and set us apart to do all this in us. Oh, Lord, how privileged we are that you care about us so much, that you want to see more and more of Jesus in us, that you want to reproduce yourself in us. Lord, what incredible love you have for us. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you that you don't want us just to drift along through our Christian lives being a little bit useful and a little bit fruitful here and there. But you have chosen us for the best, that you want the best for us, that you want to reproduce the best in us, Lord. Oh, how we praise you, how we bless you, how we love you.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.